All right, let's jump right in, shall we? We've got some interesting stuff to unpack today. You sent over some info about this Digital Gujarat Scholarship Program, and I gotta say, I'm already hooked. Free tablets for students? Color me intrigued.
Yeah, it definitely caught my eye too. And when you dig into the details on their website, things get even more interesting.
Oh, do tell. What kind of details are we talking about?
Well, first off, it's not just any student who qualifies. We're talking about a very specific group, scheduled caste students in Gujarat, India. And not just any scheduled caste students either. They have to have scored really well academically, like 70% or higher on their 12th grade board exams.
Okay, so there's a merit-based component to it. They're looking for kids who've really excelled. Makes sense. What else?
Well, the other thing that jumped out at me is that there's no income limit mentioned. A lot of programs like this are tied to financial need, but this one seems to be more about making sure these high-achieving students have equal access to technology, regardless of their family's income.
I see, I see. So it's more about leveling the playing field digitally. It's about making sure these kids aren't held back just because they might not have the same resources as some of their peers.
Exactly. And that brings us to another interesting detail. This token fee thing, you catch that?
Oh yeah, the 1,000 rupees, about US$12. That students have to pay up front to get the tablet, even though ultimately it's supposed to be free. Now that's a head scratcher for sure.
Right. It's not a huge amount of money, especially compared to the cost of a tablet. But it still begs the question, why make them pay anything at all if the goal is to remove barriers to access?
Exactly. It's like, are they trying to make sure the students are serious about using the tablets, or is there some other, bureaucratic reason behind it that we're just not seeing?
Honestly, your guess is as good as mine on that one. The website doesn't really explain it, but it definitely got me thinking. Maybe it's some way to weed out students who aren't really committed.
Maybe. So let's say a student meets all the criteria and is ready to jump through whatever hoops they need to jump through. What's the actual application process like?
Well, you've got your standard stuff, caste certificate to prove they're eligible, 12th grade mark sheet, a canceled check or bank passbook so they can get that token money back.
Right, the usual suspects. But I seem to remember there being some other stuff too, specifically about their college.
Oh, you're right. So in addition to all that, they need their college ID card, obviously. But then it gets a little more specific. They need something called a tablet enrollment number from their college. Plus, they have to provide details about their course, their fees, even the date their application was, quote unquote, locked in the system.
Whoa, okay. So it sounds like a fairly involved process, more so than I initially thought.
Yeah, it definitely suggests that they're not just throwing tablets at people willy-nilly.
Right.
There's a real system in place here.
Yeah, this level of detail, I mean, it makes me think they're really trying to track these tablets and make sure they're being used for their intended purpose.
Right, like they're investing in these students and want to make sure it's a worthwhile investment.
I'm with you on that. So we've talked about who can get a tablet and what they need to do to apply, but what about the how of that reimbursement? They mentioned something about DBT, right?
Yeah, direct benefit transfer. It's basically how the Indian government sends money directly to people's bank accounts, often for things like subsidies or benefits.
Ah, got it. So in this case, once a student's met all the requirements, boom, that 1,000 rupees is zapped back to their account.
Precisely. No muss, no fuss.
Makes sense. Cuts down on paperwork, delays, all that bureaucratic fun. Even with this whole token fee puzzle, it sounds like they're trying to streamline things as much as possible for the students.
Yeah, definitely seems that way. It's all very carefully designed.
And I think what's really striking me is how all these pieces fit together, you know?
Oh, tell me about it. It's like they're trying to create this whole ecosystem of support.
Okay, you gotta elaborate on that. You've piqued my curiosity now.
Well, remember how we were wondering if that token fee might be a way to make sure students are serious about using the tablets? It got me thinking about the bigger picture here. Like, what's the end goal? Is it just about handing out hardware? Or is there something more to it?
Right. So it's not just a here's a tablet, good luck kind of situation. They're trying to,
What?
what, cultivate something.
Exactly. It's like they're trying to build a system where these students are supported in a meaningful way. And that's where things get really interesting. You remember how the website mentioned other Digital Gujarat scholarships?
Yeah, I think it was almost like a footnote, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I'm starting to think maybe that was a clue. Like there's more to this story than meets the eye.
Okay. I'm all ears. Spill the beans. What are we missing here?
Well, it turns out this tablet program is just one piece of a much larger puzzle. They've got scholarships specifically for scheduled cast students pursuing advanced degrees like MPhil or PhDs. There's financial help for those in medical, engineering, or diploma programs.
Hold on, so they're thinking long term too. It's not just about getting them through high school or even a bachelor's degree. They're looking at supporting these students through higher education as well.
That's exactly what it looks like.
Yeah.
And it's not just tuition fees either. There's even a scholarship to help with food bills for students living in hostels.
Wow. So they're recognizing that even something like living expenses can be a real burden for students.
And you know what else? There's even a scholarship to help students pay for private coaching for those tough competitive exams they take in 11th and 12th grade.
So they're thinking years ahead, providing support even before students might qualify for the tablet program. It really does paint a picture of a very comprehensive support system.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, when you lay it all out like this, it starts to feel like a real commitment to these students' success.
Yeah, it's like they're saying, look, we're not just going to give you a device. We're going to help you use it to build a future. It's pretty amazing, honestly.
It really is.
Yeah.
And it makes you wonder, could this kind of approach be applied elsewhere? I mean, digital inclusion is a global issue, right?
Absolutely. So many places are grappling with how to bridge the digital divide, especially for marginalized communities. But what makes this Gujarat program stand out to you? What are the key ingredients, aside from, you know, having the money to fund all these scholarships?
Well, I think one thing that's really striking is how they've clearly thought about the different layers of support that students might need. It's not just about the technology itself. It's about recognizing all those other factors, financial, logistical, even social, that can influence a student's journey.
You know, you've hit on something really important there. Giving someone a tablet is one thing, but making sure they can actually use it to its full potential, that's a whole other ballgame. Like, what if they can't afford internet access? Or they don't have a quiet place to study? Or they're dealing with family obligations that make it hard to focus on their education.
Precisely. And that's where this holistic approach comes in. By addressing those broader needs, they're increasing the chances that these students will actually benefit from the technology they're given.
So if we zoom out a bit, what do you think is the bigger message this program is sending? Not just to the students in Gujarat, but to policymakers, educators, anyone who cares about equity and opportunity in the digital age.
To me, it's saying that investing in digital inclusion requires a long-term vision and a multifaceted approach. It's about understanding the interconnected challenges that marginalized communities face, and then creating support systems that actually address those challenges in a meaningful way.
Almost like they're saying, we see you, we hear you, and we're going to do what it takes to help you succeed. It's powerful stuff. And it makes me wonder. It makes me wonder about the ripple effects, you know? Like, if a program like this is successful, could it inspire similar initiatives in other parts of India? Or even in other countries altogether?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's a very real possibility. Imagine if policymakers in other regions saw this and thought, hey, that's a pretty smart approach. Maybe we could adapt something like that for our own communities.
I'm picturing a world where every student, no matter their background or zip code, has the chance to thrive in a digital world. It's a pretty exciting thought, but let's be realistic. Not every place has the resources that Gujarat does. Do you think this model is even replicable on a smaller scale? Maybe even at a local level?
That's a great question. And it's definitely something worth exploring, you know?
Mm.
Maybe it's not about replicating the program exactly, but about taking those core principles, that targeted support, the focus on digital literacy, that understanding of the interconnected challenges, and figuring out how to apply them in different contexts.
So maybe it starts with identifying the specific needs of your own community. Who are the students who are most likely to be left behind in the digital age? What are the barriers they're facing? And then you start brainstorming solutions that address those specific needs.
Exactly. It might be a partnership between local schools and businesses to provide affordable internet access, or a mentoring program that connects tech-savvy volunteers with students who need extra help. The solutions will look different in different places, but the underlying goal is the same, to make sure everyone has the chance to participate fully in our increasingly digital world.
You know, as we've been talking, I've been thinking about how this whole program ties into a bigger conversation about digital equity.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about having access to devices and the internet. It's about having the skills and the knowledge to actually use that technology effectively.
You're absolutely right. Digital literacy is a crucial piece of the puzzle. It's about being able to navigate the online world safely and responsibly, to critically evaluate information, to use technology as a tool for learning, creativity, and communication.
So for you listening, wherever you are in the world, I hope this deep dive has sparked some ideas. Maybe it's inspired you to learn more about digital inclusion efforts in your own community. Or maybe it's even given you some ideas about how you can get involved and make a difference.
And if you're a policymaker or an educator listening, think about the lessons from Gujarat. Think about the power of a holistic approach, the importance of long-term vision, and the potential for even seemingly small initiatives to create a ripple effect that can change lives.
Beautifully said. And that, my friend, is what the deep dive is all about, exploring these fascinating ideas, connecting the dots, and hopefully leaving you with some food for thought. Thanks for joining us on this journey.
Yeah, it makes me wonder about those ripple effects. You know, what if this program is successful, like really successful? Could it inspire other places to do something similar?
I mean, it's definitely possible, right? Other regions, even other countries, they could look at this and say, hey, that Gujarat model, that's pretty smart. Maybe we should give that a try.
I love that idea. A world where every student, no matter where they come from, has a real shot at succeeding in our digital world. But okay, let's be real for a sec. Not every place has the kind of resources that Gujarat does. Yeah. So is this model even, like, replicable on a smaller scale? What do you think? That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And honestly, I don't know that there's an easy answer. I think the key might be to focus on the core principles, you know.
Hey, core principles, like what?
That targeted support, the emphasis on digital literacy, understanding those interconnected challenges that we were talking about. And then you got to figure out how to apply those principles to different contexts. You know, what works in a big state like Gujarat might not work exactly the same way in a small town or a rural community.
Right, right. So maybe it all starts with understanding the specific needs of your community.
Okay. Exactly. Who are the students who are most at risk of being left behind?
Yeah.
What are the barriers they're facing? Once you have a handle on that, then you can start brainstorming solutions that actually address those specific needs.
I like that. So it could be something like partnering with local businesses to provide affordable internet access, or maybe setting up a mentoring program where tech-savvy volunteers work with students who need a little extra help.
That's the idea. The solutions will look different depending on where you are. But the goal is always the same, to create a more equitable digital landscape where everyone has the opportunity to thrive.
You know, we've covered a lot of ground today, but as we wrap up, there's one more thing I want to touch on. It's this idea of digital equity, you know. It's not just about having access to devices and the internet. It's also about having the skills and knowledge to actually use that technology effectively.
Couldn't agree more. Digital literacy is absolutely essential. You need to be able to navigate the online world safely and responsibly, to critically evaluate information, to use technology as a tool for learning and creating and communicating.
So to everyone listening, wherever you are in the world, I hope this deep dive has given you some food for thought. Maybe it sparked your curiosity about digital inclusion efforts in your own community. Or maybe it's even inspired you to take action, to get involved, to make a difference in whatever way you can.
And if you're a policymaker or an educator listening, take a page from Gujarat's book. Think about the power of a holistic approach, the importance of long-term vision. And remember that even small initiatives can have a ripple effect that can change lives.
Couldn't have said it better myself. And on that note, folks, we're going to wrap things up for today. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of digital inclusion. It's been a fascinating conversation. And as always, we hope it's left you with some ideas to ponder and maybe even act on. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep pushing for a more equitable and connected world.